Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag Event Icons. I'm your host today, Sarah, and I have an incredible guest with me today. I'm super excited. First off, you all are going to love her accent. She's joining super late, so I'm very thankful that she's joining today. But we have someone in the event professional industry who has over a seasoned marketer and content creator and business development professional with over 15 years of international experience. And she's also the co-founder and chief experience officer at Uncommon Conferences. Please welcome to Event Icons, Banu.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events. The show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share hashtag event icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is hashtag event icons.
Hi, Banu. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm really good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited today. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about reimagining the virtual experience. Banu has a really awesome story to tell us today. But first, Banu, I just wanted to ask how you wound up in the events industry. Everyone always seems like they have such a different answer to this question. So I'm really curious how you got into events.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess like most people, and I've watched a couple of your Event Icons episodes, like most people, I fell into it. also, now you've put the pressure on me with the accent. I'm not sure what people are expecting, but it's
I love it. I could listen to you speak all day. As an American, I feel like we don't have an exciting accent at all. So yours is fantastic.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I can start with that. I was born in Singapore, South Indian heritage, but my family moved us to Australia 20 years ago. So I call Australia home, which is why it's 11 o'clock at night for me now. But really, really stoked to be joining the podcast and, yeah, to be chatting to you. But, yeah, how did I get into events? It was purely out of necessity. You know, I left university a trained journalist in radio and print journalism. And, you know, had a crack at a few different things in that space, but it was kind of missing a little bit of the commercial edge for me. So I, you know, there was a job back then at IQPC, which some of you may know of. It's a commercial conference organizer in Sydney. And, you know, they were looking for people with strong research skills and the ability to talk to people and draw out, you know, important you know, information from them and develop conferences around different industries. So I was like, yeah, that sounds like me. I'm pretty good at research and I like talking to people. So sign me up. And yeah, you know, the rest is history. I've been kind of in and around that commercial business conference space for 15 years now, which makes me feel really old.
No, that's incredible. So much experience. Just what's one of your favorite parts that keeps you in this industry and draws you in?
Yeah, you know, it's a really relevant question, especially today and given the year we've had. I'd say it's that ability to really feel how you've had an impact on people in the room, that connection that you build at the end of a really successful gathering, when you know that, you know, you've all made some sort of difference to each other, just the energy that you get from being around sort of, someone said to me the other day, I love this term, like-spirited people, which is kind of, to me, one step above like-minded people, right?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, me too. So I think that's that energy really cool. Is something that has kept me coming back to this space.
Wow, that's awesome. I feel like every single episode I take one little like phrase or snippet and I feel like spirited is going to be today's. I love that. So yeah, let's dive right into GasFest. When we connected earlier, it was really just an awesome story. So let's first off start by what this event originated as. How did it start? How did it come to be?
Sure. So when I took a little break from the commercial conference events world, and I went in-house to a industrial corporation as a global gas lead in the marketing team. And, you know, we had the challenge of, you know, finding different industry conferences that we could be a part of, that we could, you know, not just showcase our expertise, but also, you know, get knowledge from other industry peers, figure out what's happening and how to sort of really move the industry forward. Anyway, long story short, or actually, there was no shortage of these conferences. There was something like 150 in a single year that we could have gone to as an organization, and similarly for our colleagues in the industry. But we were going over the same issues, and we were talking at each other and sort of marketing and selling to each other without really addressing the core challenges that we had and, you know, opportunities as well. And as an organization, I was very lucky to work for a company and for a marketing head who was very forward thinking in saying, look, I think we've got to sort of take matters into our own hands. We've got to design an experience and a platform ourselves, you know, very, very by industry, for industry, if we want to achieve the things that we're looking to achieve. And so we kind of pulled our resources. We interviewed a couple of different partners in the industry, people that we knew were like-minded or like-spirited, as we now like to call it, and who had, you know, a vested interest in moving this issue forward. This issue being the utilization of natural gas as a marine fuel. And I mean, you know, just to break that down, it's around, you know, reducing the environmental footprint of the shipping industry by moving away from heavy fuel oil and into natural gas. However, that it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's similar with the sort of electric car scenario, to draw a parallel. You need the infrastructure in place before people can switch to using gas. So anyway, yeah. So we just went out and we had a crack. It was just, you know, red hot crack. And we were so pleasantly surprised by how people responded to our initiative and jumped on board. And yeah, off we went.
That is such an awesome story. And I feel like there's probably a lot of different industries that this could apply to. And, you know, you really took a, you know, disjointed group of people and kind of, you know, brought everyone together. And there was this sense of camaraderie. So I love that you brought this, you know, into the next century and kind of the future. And ultimately, this is an event that is going to, you know, one day impact the world. So there is so much kind of to it. Yeah, there's so much behind it. So going on with like planning this experience, I love how you continued to build that network. Could you share with everyone how that kind of evolved and changed as this event went on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it's a very close-knit group of partners, as we call them. And again, because the intention wasn't to market or sell to each other, there wasn't any sense in calling them sponsors. So we were equal partners with the same objectives and the same desired outcomes. And, you know, we would invite, so the attendees were by invitation only. And we kept it a very close-knit group because, you know, we didn't want to end up in an analysis paralysis situation. We wanted to be very concrete on how we gathered and very purposeful and intentional. Joy and fun was always at the you know, core of it, which is why we called it Gas Fest as opposed to, you know, Gas Forum or Gas Conference. Because I think one of the things that really frustrated us was a lot of these business conferences, industry conferences, wait until happy hour to introduce the fun element. And, you know, we were just kind of morally opposed to that because, I mean, if you can't have fun with a problem, you're not very likely to solve it. So, it was a, you know, no suits and ties. We were very conscious about democratizing the experience. So everybody comes in smart casual, you know, whether you're the CEO, you're the marketing manager, or you're the project director, like the minute you step through those doors, we're all on the same level. And that is a problem solving collaborative space where you have, you know, respect for each other and each other's views, and you know, you can disagree, but we do it in a way that is solution oriented. So there's a lot of breakouts. It's all very structured, but without being dull, right? So there's no death by PowerPoint. There's no, you're not kind of having someone talk at you, which tends to be the case with a lot of conferences. So it's really about, getting into the space. We prime people really well because I think otherwise it's a missed opportunity. I think if you wait for people to show up before you tell them what to expect and, you know, how they should expect to feel and act and think and do, it's a missed opportunity. And back in the day when we could get on planes to see each other. So the first edition was in a converted gas warehouse, funnily enough, in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was
what an really awesome cool venue.
Exactly. And that's another thing. Like, we've always been big on finding really unique, special venues that people will be surprised and delighted by, you know, from the moment they show up. It's like, oh, this is different. This isn't, you know, a hotel ballroom next to the airport. So we did it in Amsterdam the first time in 2017 and then in Lisbon in 2019. So it was on a sort of 18-month rotation, and then we all know what happened next. So we were meant to meet in Barcelona last July, and we still haven't done it yet. But you know, fingers crossed for later this year. I think it's looking promising.
That's so exciting. Well, first off, there's so many awesome, I feel like, design tips that you and your team were incredibly strategic about. I think it's awesome that, you know, even just introducing fun is, you know, sounds like something that is, you know, a little, oh, okay, extra, a little woo-woo to some people when they're just, you know, trying to get down and dirty and like meet and, you know, solve a problem. But really, it's such an essential part to the event and probably helped solve problems even more and got everyone ready and working together and comfortable enough to solve these problems. So someone just said a great approach, inclusiveness plus equality equals solutions. I think so that is right. So true. Yeah. And just being even intentional about what people wear. It's, you know, those little details that really make the difference in, you know, how you are able to meet and communicate with each other. So I think those elements are really exciting and, you know, really great tips for event planners who are listening to just kind of, you know, marinate on and just kind of realize that you can really focus on these little details that make a huge difference in the end of your event.
100%. Yeah. And I think also, you know, you have to remember this is it's a very traditional industry. They're not used to not being in their suits. It's sort of their kind of armor in a way, I think. So getting them out of their suits was tricky, but, when we did, and when they came into that space, which was not a ballroom, which was this kind of really open, and you know, we always had some sort of greenery in there, like live greenery, kind of bringing the outside inside. They're like, okay, hang on a second, these guys aren't mucking about. They're serious about this being a different sort of experience. Therefore, I better bring my differentiation as well. So there's kind of a friendly competition as well, about okay, who's more out there than the next person, which you would never get in a maritime industry conference normally. I guarantee you, like, you find me one and I'll be amazed. Yeah. So it's like, yes, you're right. It is a lot about the small details, but right. It is also absolutely about that big picture and that uniting sort of vision and goal that everyone has. Right. If you're not on the same page with why you're gathering and what for, because those are two different things. You know,
definitely.
Why you're gathering is the purpose, and what for is the outcome. And so often we just slip into, oh, I've got to book the venue. I've got to make sure the food's ready, and I've got to, you know, make sure the invites look good. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's a serious industry problem with, like you said earlier, global impact, mm-hmm. and, you know, billions of dollars at stake, you know, the environment at stake, the climate at stake, like what bigger purpose could you possibly have, right?
So,
I mean, for me, it's always been like such a joy and such a privilege to be a part of this, you know, and I feel like really honored that I've managed to be a part of it since its inception.
Right.
I mean, I've changed jobs a couple of times during this period, but I've somehow always stayed in this space, which has been nice.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the last part too that I wanted to touch on before we move into the virtual element of everything was, I think it just aligns so well. I usually don't do any shameless plugs, but we actually do have a webinar coming out tomorrow about why your next hybrid event is not in a ballroom. So you kind of just like hit that perfectly. Yes. You had no idea. But I just wanted to share that offer too for anyone who is interested, because that is something that we Will and Kyle on our team will be talking about really in depth. About, you know, why those, you know, unique experiences are going to be so important. And especially like you're saying, you're looking forward to Barcelona at the hopefully the end of this year, fingers crossed. So I think a lot of people too are in that same position where they're hoping to, you know, meet in person, and finding that perfect event space is a big part of the checklist. So I love that you shared that too, and just kind of reimagining that element of it. But the next part that you and your team reimagined was that virtual piece. So obviously we know what happened in 2020, but if you could share your experience and how you and your team tried to, you know, tackle some of those challenges that came up, share with everyone what you all came up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the interest of full disclosure, we, at the very beginning, just thought, we're just going to wait this out. It'll be fine. We don't need to go virtual. Like, you know, the GasFest experience doesn't lend itself to being virtual. So let's just wait it out. It'll be fine. You know, we were on an 18-month cycle anyway, so it's not like people expected to see us or hear from us, you know, every month or every 6 months or even every year. And then come, gosh, whatever it was, November last year, I think, that was the first postponement. We just realized, okay, this isn't happening, and it isn't going to happen for a while. And we have a community, a very loyal and passionate community that we can't leave hanging, and it would be unfair to them, unfair to the platform that we've worked so hard to build. So we did go virtual, but in very, I guess, I don't know, pretty non-traditional ways than most people did. The first decision we made was not to try in any way, shape, or form to replicate the physical experience online, because we just knew it wasn't going to be possible, and it wouldn't be fair, you know, to our community, to our participants, but also to the platform itself and what we'd always intended to do with it. So then what? Oh, God. It was. Literally hours and hours of research. We just picked up the phone and spoke to almost every single person in that community. You know, this is like 100 people, something like that. So whether it was, you know, on a phone call or in an email, mostly we tried to do it on phone calls, because we think that's when you really get a sense for what people are thinking and feeling, and you know, what their true opinion on, say, a virtual experience should be. Anyway, so yeah, picked up the phone, and this has been a big thing for us. You've got to ask your people. Don't assume anything. Don't make it up. Yes, there's loads of webinars out there. There's loads of advice out there, blogs out there on how to do the best possible virtual event. But, you know, your community is unique. Everyone's community is unique. You've got to ask them what they want and what sort of experience would be the most beneficial to them.
Because I mean, I love that you started people. There. Most people just skip that first step, and they're like, nope, especially when there's, you know, a crisis and that emergency situation, you're freaking out and trying to, you know, figure out what to do next. What prompted you all to, you know, start picking up the phone? Was it, it sounds like you're obviously really ingrained in this community, which is a great start, and that you all have this, you know, network that trusts you and you trust them. What made you, you know, take that first step of really thinking of the strategy and connecting with your audience?
Because that's how the platform came to be. Right. So why, you know, fix a process that isn't broken and that's worked brilliantly for you in the past? And, you know, it's got a few benefits. One is that you hear directly from the horse's mouth. You know, you get to hear directly from people how exhausted they are from doing things online. Right. What their willingness would be, how many people they think is a comfortable number or reasonable number to be in a virtual space with. Because I think we got to that point where this, you know, giant screen of like 100 nameless, faceless people staring back at you was just not cutting it anymore.
Right.
So that was the first thing. You got to hear directly from the horse's mouth. The second thing was that you got them involved in the success of this venture, right? You got them involved and invested in what in how it went, which means when they came to it, they already felt a part of it. You know, it's not like some, I'm clicking on a link and showing up somewhere. It's like, oh no, right. I helped shape this. I helped design this. This is, you know, in my best interest to make sure that it goes well, because there's so much about the virtual that's reliant on the energy that people bring into the space, which I'm not sure is acknowledged enough. And speaking to people beforehand, that, you know, the very people that are going to be in your virtual experience, just takes away that layer of uncertainty and anonymity, right? So everyone comes into the space feeling like, oh yeah, this is cool. You know, these are my people. And yeah, so I think, you know, those are sort of really the two main things that you get from talking to your audience and talking to your participants beforehand.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, look, has it been perfect? Absolutely not. but I guess nothing is in the event space. And we shouldn't really be gunning for that. We should be gunning for the small steps and, you know, whatever outcomes we can get. We had a brilliant journalist sitting in on every workshop with us. So we ran it as a series of workshops over a week rather than one big thing.
That's the next part. I was so excited for you to share. This really was, not your typical keynote breakout kind of a scenario. So yeah, if you could share some of the details of what the collaboration with people looked like, it's pretty different from what we normally expect in your typical meeting planning event.
Yeah. So, I mean, we narrowed down the issues and the challenges that people were facing, and it came down to about five different issues, one of them being very popular. So we ran it twice. So it was a series of six workshops over the course of a week. We were brutal with the timing. It was no more than 90 minutes, no more than sort of eight or nine people in each room or Zoom. We had a live scribe, which was also an amazing experience because we needed that sort of joyful element, that colorful, playful element, that we are used to in the physical space. And Tim Haymans from Art of Awakening captured the conversations in such amazing and colorful and vibrant detail. And because it's a part of the physical, it was such a nice sort of continuity for the community that was used to it. It's like, oh, you know, they kept this in. That's nice. And people can kind of see their thoughts and their views coming to life in real time. And that's incredibly powerful. You know, and someone would be like, oh, Tim, I said 30%, not 40%, which means people are paying attention. Right? They're not muted with their cameras off cooking dinner, which is what we've spent a lot of the last year doing.
Yeah. And mixing that left brain with the right brain is so something that I definitely appreciate, you know, in a world that sometimes feels like it's void of creativity. It's really nice to get little touches of that. So that is such an awesome element that you decided to bring in.
Exactly right. And then I think the outcome piece, which has really been critical for us and really important to us from the start, was that, like I was saying earlier, we had an industry journalist, Gavin Lipsith, who sat in on each and every one of the workshops, bless his heart, such a legend. And I mean, you know, I mean, it's so hard to synthesize conversations that are going on in real time and people like, you know, everyone's having an opinion on it. And these are kind of fairly, I wouldn't say contentious issues, but they're very topical. So they're in the media a lot. They're getting a lot of attention. People aren't necessarily agreeing on the right way forward. So for him to be able to summarize each of those workshops with such clarity and finding the real sort of key takeaways from each workshop, which we were then able to share with the Maritime Press at the end of the week, who picked it up, which is great. And you know, I guess one of the small wins for us was that we introduced a new bit of terminology, which we'd been struggling with over the last year or so. So I think that outcome piece is really important, and you've got to keep sharing that with your participants, with your community, so that people know you're not just a sort of, you know, shop talk session. Because we, you know, I said this in another podcast last week, but we live here now. Like, this is where we live. And, you know, it's pretty grueling. So
yeah. That language. And again, that's another thing, just like they created the virtual experience, they're now creating, you know, kind of like the trends and the rules and regulations of what, you know, you're all going to abide by. That's a really important aspect of the event. And now I'm sure anyone who missed out on this past previous year is going to be like, well, I need to be at the next one because there's major changes happening.
So it's funny you say that. Our next round of workshops are coming up in a couple of weeks in April.
Oh, wow.
And they are all, bar none, completely oversubscribed, which is really nice and really encouraging.
Right. So how do you combat that? Because I'm sure it's like tempting to be like, wow, all these people want to be a part of this. And maybe, you know, it's probably really attempting to want to go back to that typical, you know, structure that we talked about where you could have a keynote. Someone, even a LinkedIn user, said, I don't want to sit through a 45 minute keynote on my phone or my computer, and breaking it up. And those intimate moments are really important. But how do you, you know, not give into that, you know, desire to be like, well, maybe we should make it for everyone? Because I feel like some people could see that as a monetary opportunity, or building it up more. So has it been a challenge to keep everything really small and intimate and stick with, you know, your purpose of this event?
No, I think, again, because we were so specific and intentional about talking to everyone before we embarked on this virtual journey or experience, however you want to call it, everyone's going to understand. No one's going to mind. You know, how we kind of mix and match the people in this next round of workshops is going to be interesting, of course, but I don't think it's going to be a challenge. I think people are going to, you know, if we write to them and say, look, you know, Mr. X, I'm really sorry, or, you know, Miss Y, I'm really sorry, we're just oversubscribed, bear with us. We're definitely going to send you the executive summaries. We're going to send you all the live scribing. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, there's a closing plenary session at the end of every week of workshops, where someone from each workshop will share the, you know, discussions, we'll see the live scribing, and our GM will, you know, kind of summarize on some level what's happened during the week. And that's open to everyone, right? Because it's a little bit more one way. So that's a kind of, a consolation. Right. But eventually, I mean, I don't know how many more of these we're going to go through before we get to meet in person. But it's such an, you know, cooperative, understanding, supportive community that I think people would much rather we respected the values of the virtual experience that we set out for ourselves than, you know, trying to say, oh, yeah, let's just get as many people in as possible.
Right. And I just have to ask about the hybrid experience. So I'm sure you're kind of already thinking ahead of, you know, what that's going to look like. Are there any things that you kind of have in mind for what that's going to be like, hopefully at the end of this year?
You know, I'm going to, like, hot take coming up.
Let's hear it.
I don't believe in hybrid. I don't think we need it. I think it's a solution looking for a problem. Once we can go back to in person, we're going to go back to really quality, really thoughtful, intentional, purposeful in person events. Most other things will probably stay online. I think we're going to have some, you know, really cool, reimagining of the online experience the further we go along. But I think hybrid is just trying to please everybody and ending up pissing everybody off is my feeling.
I love the hot take. That's definitely something worth exploring. No, I really admire that about you, that you really, you know, look beyond the normal. We kind of say sometimes it feels like the event planning community sometimes is just, you know, kind of looking at it to the left and right and seeing what everyone else is doing. So I love that you're willing to come out and, you know, stomp the normal mold of what that looks like and challenge those things and try to, you know, make it a better experience for everyone involved. So it might be a hot take. but I enjoy that you know are looking to break the traditional mold.
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway there is we don't have to jump on every bandwagon that comes along because it might not be for us. I mean, look, could there be a space for hybrid for a certain type of gathering, certain type of event, certain type of industry? I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe there is, but in the industries that we work in, I don't think it's going to make sense. From a simple sort of human behavioral experience management perspective, yeah.
Right. No, exactly. And that's what we've been always saying, like hybrid is nothing really new, and it does work really well for the spaces that it does. I mean, like, you know, the college NCAA basketball tournament's going on right now. That's been hybrid since its inception. There's always been an element where you can watch at home or an element where you can watch in person. So there's really nothing new. So I love that you're thinking, you know, about the audience and what works well for them. And we say it every single episode, but meeting people where they are and, you know, just having that human empathy element of, you know, not trying to force someone into an experience that they don't want to be in or they, you know, it's not natural, like you're saying, from a human behavior element. So I think those are all really great rules to live by. And as we wrap up, I think you have so many awesome little tidbits of knowledge. But if you were to leave everyone with one last piece of advice, obviously, it's still a pretty tumultuous world out there in events. But for all the planners listening, what is something that you would want them to walk away with this conversation with?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky one because I feel like everyone has learned so much over the last year. So we're all kind of bursting at the seams with tips and tricks. But for me personally, what's really gotten me through has been reaching out to people, not trying to do it alone, building some sort of, you know, support system around you, even if it is only virtual. What's been interesting is the openness of people to respond to someone contacting them from halfway across the world, like, you know, like we're doing right now. So I think don't underestimate the power of that connection that you might be able to make with someone who could help you. And I think everyone is feeling this whole spirit of giving and without, you know, seeking anything in return has really, for me, you know, come alive in the last year, which is so magical. And it's a kind of, I don't know, it's a good symbol for the events world as well in some ways, right? It's about people coming together. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I love reach that. Out
and find your people.
Yeah, and it just takes that one simple reach out. This entire last 30 minutes wouldn't have been possible without you reaching out to me on LinkedIn. So it really is exactly. Just those simple little connections that take maybe 2 minutes of your day that can just spring something really beautiful and an amazing conversation this morning. So I love it. I think it applies even to today.
Exactly right.
Well, Bunny, thank you so much. I seriously could talk to you all day, but you shared
you say that to all your guests.
I promise you, only the ones with incredible accents. I did say that to Song Division because they're all from the UK and they are fantastic as well. But no, thank you so much. I think there was so many awesome, I mean, even the people who tuned in from LinkedIn, there was a lot of comments and people just saying thank you so much for these tips. And, you know, you are definitely using the right strategies to connect people. So everyone really appreciated you today. And if you ever have another topic, I'd love to have you back because this was such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, when we get to go in Barcelona,
yes, I'll, let you know how I'll be there.
Yeah, yes, you should come.
Great. No, I love that. And thank you everyone for tuning in. If you would like to subscribe to all of our episodes, make sure you do so at www.event-icons.com. You'll also be able to see this exact conversation on demand. So make sure you're subscribed so you can go check it out if you are only able to see bits and pieces. But Banu, thank you so much again. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. And thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode. Share your biggest takeaway and just tag your social media posts with hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on hashtag Event Icons.